I know what I know. Let the now and know what you know. I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast, Season 4, Episode 1. Pretty exciting there, guys.
Yes.
We are close to syndication.
What did you think about the new bumper music? I have to ask both of you. Now, give me your honest opinion. I don't want to simply like get you like writing off like, oh, geez, it's just okay. I want to know detailed notes. Go.
It brought tears to my eyes.
David?
In the history of bumper music, this is the best bumper
this
music
is one of
that has ever been done on a podcast that involved youth hockey and emanates from people that lived at least some of the time in California.
It certainly shows the kind of quality depth we have on our bench. You know what I'm saying? Not only can we produce interesting and entertaining hockey podcast content, we can also go right to the musical. I mean, by the way, for the audience that doesn't know this, neither of them have heard the bumper music at all. I just put it in. I just fixed it. I just finished it. So I'm like, I'll ask them what they think. See how they respond to something.
You're giving away the, you know, the way the sausage is made.
I'm sorry, guys.
You know, I was going to say, people, you know, the next thing is for people to write into youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com and give you their opinion.
Oh, that would be great. In fact, especially if you're a Bears parent, I'd love to hear what you think of the bumper music. Cause I'm just guessing after that uniform thing from last year. Did you hear, guys? Okay, this is big news. I want you guys, you're both seated, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. The Bears are changing their uniform. I can't understand it. I love their original, their last year's uniform. Why would they change? Please discuss.
I don't get it either, man. It's like my favorite. Dan, do you know what the colors are? Or
I believe they're radish, russet, and puce. I think that's what they went with. Yeah.
Yeah, I was down at Pickwick just this week, as a matter of fact. Watching my kid do some skating, and I got to say the ice.
Yeah,
you know, we're going through something right now. I think historically, I'm reading hottest.
Oh, please don't read, Coach. That is dangerous stuff.
I know. I get this off the internet. Dangerous. So it's
dangerous when you start reading, but please.
I'm reading that we were having some very hot days. You know, maybe hottest in recorded history, whatever that means. I don't know if that includes like, you know, going back to stone tablets from the time of Hammurabi or something after that. But
perhaps Hesiod's shield.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Magna Carta. I don't know. Whatever.
Nice.
What other things might have been
there? I'm sure there are some tablets out there somewhere that we haven't discovered.
Yeah.
And I what I'm saying is, it's damn hot out there.
It's very hot, and the ice there, not real good, especially after. And I know, you know, you always loved this as much as I did. After a fully subscribed Bears coaches time with 12 to 14 people taking up one quarter of the corner of one rink of the rink. I was watching, you know, my kid after that, even with the ice freshly cut, it was a little rough out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said,
I don't know if this is living in California.
This is news. I mean, you know, the Bears ice, we should have not only should we have a hockey podcast, but should we have a daily Bears ice update? And I think that can be something you can launch, Lance, as you know, just go down there, measure the ice every day and just put it out on a podcast. Very short report.
Now, you know, you guys have been at Valencia recently.
So that's the rumor.
How is the ice at Valencia Lance?
I meant, you know, I was, the boys played on the pond. So I would say that the pond looked, everything there looked normal to me. I mean, the one thing I noticed about Pickwick, because I walked there during my lunch on extremely hot days like it's been, and I noticed like the ice is melting onto the walkways. You know, as you walk around the rink, there's puddles everywhere, which.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they've had that problem even before they redid their ice. I don't know what is causing that runoff, you know, like it's not getting
could be their enough. Teams are just so hot, you know what I mean? Those teams are so good going into the hockey season that the Bears just cannot, they're blades of pure fire, and they're cutting into that ice a little too hard.
Let me bring this around to
perhaps
this is the part of the reason for the change in uniforms is to get those vibrant colors to absorb some of that heat.
Yeah, that's probably.
And then make the ice service a little bit better. A little cold. But I don't know. We're picking on Pickwick. It's an.
Oh yeah, no. By the way, every person
picking
out
on
there,
Pickwick, guys.
In your neighborhood, I'm sure you have an old rink that is like seen better days. But we love them. Honestly, half of our kids wouldn't be able to skate without them. So rather than looking at it as we're picking on it, just be like, you know. We're establishing the nostalgia for years to come. You know, someday we'll look back on this and laugh. Before we get to our topic, gentlemen, I did want to thank the listeners of the Youth Hockey Podcast for holding on with us. I know we have been out for a month and a little bit more. And we really, we got your emails, we got your phone calls, we got your occasionally texts and things like that. We really thank
the
you.
One saying, please don't come back. Yeah, please. Even got those ones.
I didn't say what the content of the letters were. I just wanted to thank you all for holding on and giving us a little bit of a break over the summer and staying with us as we come back. We really do appreciate you as a listener. And as I said, if you want to do something nice, review the show, and if you mention Coach in the review, as usual, you will get a shout out on the show. So all you have to do is put in Coach's name at some point. And I bring up Coach because Coach has the first topic of the new season, and I think it's a barn burner. Oh my God! I think it's all those things. By the way, Coach, please take over.
Yeah, well, I mean, after our nice hiatus in the off season, as we've often recommended, people, you know, have your kids do something different, maybe play a sport that's not hockey, take a little bit of time off, let them refresh the batteries. This is that time of year when a lot of things with teams are going on, all sorts of tryouts are done. People are scrambling in some cases to figure out what team they want to be on. In some cases, if they've delayed or not gone to a tryout, and so I guess the question is for you guys is what are some things that you've had your sons and or daughters do in the off season? And of those things that you've done, have you had any kind of a conclusion about what worked well and maybe in some cases what didn't work so well? I thought maybe we'd start with just what's been going on in the off season for you guys in the last month in terms of your kids that are playing hockey actively. Whoever wants
I'll
to.
Tell you. For me, I think this has been the best break that we've had in a long time because my sons have done two things primarily. Number one is they do still have their trainer. So they've been working in the gym with their trainer, and it includes like a beach day, a beach workouts, which is awesome, especially with the weather the way it's been. And then number two,
Can you elaborate on the trainer? Is this a hockey specific trainer? Is it a more of a general purpose trainer that you've worked it with? Is this somebody you got new been a couple years or?
We met him through hockey. He was like a coach down at the Heat, I think, or they may have been the Wolves back then. And that's where we first met him. And he, you know, the boys had different like coaches who would have work training into the regiment at times and stuff. And then I kind of met this guy and, you know, and he started talking to me about the fact that, you know, he's licensed, he's certified, he knows what he's doing. He understands the hockey world because he was a coach for many, many years. And, you know, and he said, there's a lot of guys out there who aren't certified, don't have that background, and yet they're showing your kid what to do. And if they show them the wrong way to do things, you know, the kids could get hurt. And so we
started. Well, yeah, there's it. That. And there's also just recently I've been watching. I don't know why these things get suggested to me, but there's a guy on YouTube who is a professor of various things. And basically what he does is he reviews mostly videos of big, well-known Hollywood actors that, you know, these action star type guys that are working out, and basically just goes through their workouts and just ridicules them and makes fun of them and says how they're ridiculous and how the exercises could be more basic. And I was kind of thinking the same thing when I was watching this is, you know, how do you really know you know whether the things that the person's having your kid do are going to be helpful for hockey or not? But you've been with this guy for a few years, so
we've been with this guy since probably what, 7-8 years. I mean, we've been with him for a long, long time, and various clubs have hired him in the past and used him. And then
is this guy's initials ED?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I mean, I don't know. We could probably mention his name, right? You probably appreciate the business.
I mean, so. I'd want to leave that to you because I didn't want to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think he would mind. His name is Eddie Doty. He's moved around a little bit, but I think he lives in Santa Clarita where we do, but he has a gym right now in North Hollywood, and he seems, you know, pretty busy. And I think that's kind of a testament that he knows what he's talking about. And I could say this, you know, John and Chris started really young, and I think there were a lot of people out there who said that were telling us, oh, that's a big mistake. You don't want to start them when they're still growing and you could damage growth plates and all this stuff. And again, you know, he would send me articles about, you know, if you don't know what you're doing and you're doing exercises incorrectly, then yeah, you're going to really screw up your kid's body. But if you know what you're doing, you know, it's a very healthy thing for them to be working out and exercising and doing the right things. And the one thing that came from it was that, you know, in those youth years, my sons were always the two strongest guys, you know, they were always ahead of everyone else. Now, I will tell you, you know, as you get older and everybody goes through puberty, the gap between people closes tremendously, you know. And so now at 20 years old, I don't know that there's as huge a gap as there was when they were like 14 years old.
Right.
I've been with him. They love working out with him, and they love the beach workouts. And
well, the Bears were real big on the physical fitness in the early years that we were there. Came mostly from one particular coach that we all know. And remember when they used to do the testing, and they'd have the kids basically doing like NHL style. And I remember the big one was like doing pull-ups. And we're talking like kids that are six, seven, eight doing pull-ups. And
but you know what though, Dave, you know, it's interesting that you say, because I was thinking back, the one test that my kids were never exposed to, and I don't, you probably know it, but I don't know the name of the test, but the first test when Chris got drafted into the WHL, went to their training camp, first thing that they made him do was this test. And I'm like, well, I certainly wish that I'd even known that test existed, because I would have had them work on it, you know, and build up to it. And that it's like the timed test where it starts really slow and it slowly gets bigger and bigger. And then if you, and you have to run from one line to the other. So in the beginning, you got like 30 seconds to run and there's a beep. I guess, I think it may even be called the beep test. And you hear a beep, you take off. And, you know, most of the guys are kind of like jog walking across. You get across the line before it beeps. And then you go back the other way and it starts picking up speed. And, you know,
it's sort of a test of endurance, I guess. And sort of.
Yeah. And then just your physical condition, how long you can go. And, you know, there were some guys that were going like to round 7 or 8 or something like that. I think there's like three intervals per round, something like that. And, you know, a lot of the guys were, I think, I can't remember now, but it was like 6, like round 6 is like the average where people were dropping out. But then you'd have that 2 or 3 guys that were just keep going and going and were in such good shape, you know, and those guys stood out.
Well, I wonder about this type of thing, because hockey is, you know, it's a burst sport. Always, I've kind of come to the conclusion that hockey is one of the greatest sports to do if you're an adult, because now, you know, HIIT is the big buzz acronym, you know, high intensity interval training, where you go really hard and then you take, you know, some time in between. And that's basically hockey, especially at the, right. I mean, not beer league hockey when you have 8 guys. maybe that's when you want to do this type of thing. But, you know, anybody could sort of train for marathons, and everybody will tell you, you know, sprinters don't train the same way that marathon runners train or distance runners. It's totally different type of events. So I always sort of wondered about that particular thing that you're talking about, because it seems like what they're looking at for there is somebody who's, you know, good at a distance, can conserve energy and still have something left. And, you know, but that's not really hockey. Hockey's, you know, go really hard for maybe 80 seconds and get off and then rest for a couple minutes. So that's, you know, HIIT. But interesting. So was there any other stuff he did that you recall on the WHL? Was this like a combine that he went to, or was just a camp for
that? It was their main training camp.
You know? Yeah, I got you.
I mean, the training camp ended with them going on the road for their first games. And we, you know, if you're familiar with our story, he was hesitant to give up his college opportunities and sign a contract. So we came home, but they did invite him to go on the road trip. So,
yeah,
they were.
Yeah, you had that dilemma there where do you give up your NCAA eligibility or not? And you guys chose not to. Right.
A good thing, because now your kid is going to an NCAA school, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he has time. Yes, you know what I mean? Like if he were in the WHL and say undrafted, he'd have to start looking for a professional team to continue hockey or give it up. Whereas now he still has 4 years to prove himself.
Right. Yeah. Not to mention get an NCAA education.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing we did over this summer, which is different from every other summer, so I'll keep you posted in the future podcast of how it turns out, is they rarely got on the ice, if at all. I think they got on the ice like 2 or 3 times the whole summer. We've been on the golf course, which has been awesome, because you know,
you can participate.
Yeah, I had 4.5 unencumbered hours where they were stuck with me and they were happy to be there. And it just brought us a lot closer. It's been really nice, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
So we've enjoyed that, you know, and we'll see, you know, in years past, you know, Chris spent the entire summer on the ice pushing himself. I think he came into training camp in better shape than almost everyone there, had a great showing. And then, of course, what happened? He got injured, you know, like second game in. And so all that work just went down the tubes, you know. He had to start over again after he recovered from his injury. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe this year it's better to go out and have fun. And I even mentioned it to his advisor, like, you know, is that the right path? And, you know, he said a lot of people believe in the concept of stepping away and clearing your head. And that way, when you get back on the ice in the fall, you're hungry. You're hungry. You want it. You haven't done it. You missed it, you know? And they tell me that's what Gretzky did. He hung up his skates at the end of the season, didn't pick them up until September.
Yeah, absolutely. There was no summer hockey in the 70s. Right. It just didn't exist. Like, there wasn't camps. There wasn't any of that. It was just camp. Yeah, I mean, I think growing up, I did one or two hockey camps, and they went for like a week. But it was nothing like it is now.
So tell us, Randy, what did you guys do for the off season?
Well, I think this was been a fairly decent off season for the Gifford clan. There's some men's league games for the boys, and they seem to be enjoying playing on the same team rather than coming home hitting each other over the head with sticks. So, you know, that's a good brother bonding time for them.
Is there any post game criticism that's happening? Like, hey,
generally it's like, I was wide open. Garbage. And no, you're garbage. No, that guy's garbage. Well, can we both agree that we hate this guy most? By the way, I did learn, and this might be a modern thing. They talk about other people, and the people that they get along with the best are the ones that hate the right people. And I learned this because I was like, oh yeah, I really like this guy because he hates all the right people. And I'm like, that's interesting. Because I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. The way the kids kind of judge these other kids is like, well, yeah, I kind of like that guy. Why? Oh man, he hates this guy. And I'm like,
right. Okay. Nothing unites like a common interest in the other person that.
Oh yeah. These guys are total douche canoes. Yeah, I tell you what, I like you then, because I know that you are a little judgmental bastard like me. I believe that's what they're thinking. I don't know for sure, but I do love the kids, and they don't usually argue about, every once in a while I'll hear them argue about something, internally, inside the tent, but mainly it's other people that are doing the wrong things, and they're doing the right things, which is fun. And of course, they were on the ice with their sister doing the camp. We did the camp in Valencia this year. And that's all.
Did they both coach? They both coached.
The sister was going. And one of them does not really like going on the ice that much. And he was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. He found out that his sister would be there, and he could mercilessly make fun of her during the entire week. He was there. Boom. He was right. He was like, right. I want to be there.
That put him right over the top.
Yeah. He was like, I don't really. Maggie will be there. Oh, yeah. 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 That sounds good. This sounds like something I could spend some time doing, right. which was fun, too. But I will say the thing that I've always, and you guys have heard me say this before, is the swimming. Maggie did some swimming, and I guess the coach of the swim team was like, if you ever want to stop playing hockey and you want to swim, join the team, because she was doing really well in the pool. But like you said, coach, that's more of a kind of overall body shaping and kind of aerobic exercise thing.
Right.
But I do think this is something new that they tried, and I really liked it, is they did spin class. The spin class was, where they get up and, they get up and they're going up hills on the bikes, and then they wait. It seems like kind of what you were talking about, coach, with the interval training, right? Mm-hmm. And she really loved it, because the girl that was heading the spin class, I guess, was really fun and got everyone kind of engaged. And you've seen those spin classes where everyone's laughing and clapping and stuff like that. I think that's how it went for her. And what I'm saying is that might be a little bit more of a hockey workout that I never thought of before, and it happened this year, and I think she really enjoyed it. And it's not something you have to go to a hockey rink to do. You know, it's a right. The studios are all over. So I don't know what your gentleman's opinions are on the topic, but please, you know, that's just my opinion. I thought it might be really good.
The hockey world has long held the consensus that getting on a stationary bike is one of the things that actually seems to work pretty good, because it seems like every NHL team has them. Players, especially players who maybe aren't getting as much ice time, routinely jump on the bike in between periods in a lot of NHL teams. And it's just, you know, and people that are rehabbing do it.
Well, so, and having somebody like push you in a class, you know, like, okay, we're climbing the hill. You know,
right.
It does seem like that interval factor also might be in there as well. You know, again, I'm not going to pretend like I have all this understanding of high intensity interval training, but it seemed like that might be a decent way of getting that off the ice.
Yeah,
I mean, that sounds like it's just a perfect complement to hockey, because like you said, it's not about plodding along for 60 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
like exactly
full speed, and then you've got like 2 minutes to recover.
Right,
and
sit down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and it's and I don't know that I've seen at the younger levels any, I don't remember seeing, maybe Randy and Coach, you've had experience, but I don't remember witnessing anyone in our games, whether it's opponents or not, who were competing at that level. The level where you watch an NHL game, and if a guy is out there longer than a minute, you could see where all of a sudden, like, they just can't move anymore, you know, because they just reached that wall and then just burned completely out. You know, I think it's just like a mindset that's what gets them to the NHL, where you could just leave it all out there and then you have nothing whatsoever left.
Yeah. And your muscles are filled with what is the substance?
Lactic acid.
Lactic acid.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's no different than doing, you know, weight training, where you do a bunch of exercises and eventually your muscles are just shot. And hockey's kind of the same thing. You can only go, you know, at full intensity for so long. And I think that's
remember
that's
the coach thing. That had the kids sit upside down and drain the
right.
I do.
Like I've seen an advertisement a lot recently where they've it's supposed to be for people who have multiple cats and need to have their cats groomed and have their nails cut and whatnot. Now, the funny thing about the beginning of this advertisement is that they have them in these slings. And I think that they've got like four or five of them. And they're saying, you know, these slings are perfect for, you know, keeping your cats away from each other. Of course, at the beginning, the cats are in the slings and they're just going nuts on each other. And that's what, when you first see it, you look at that immediately, but then they show them a little bit later and the cats are just, you know, they're being hung. And I was just thinking, somebody's probably got to come up with, you know, the human version of this for lactic acid draining of young hockey players. Just, you know, the coach could maybe invest in a rack that they could have back there, you know, maybe behind the net, just throw the players in upside down and let the lactic acid drain. What do you think, Lance?
Is this a
potential product for the Youth Hockey Podcast product line? I don't know.
Youth Hockey. We have our own branded hanging rods that you can hang your children on because of Youth Hockey Podcast. I love that idea, Coach. Even if it doesn't get made, I certainly would love to be able to offer that as our promotional materials.
Yeah, if someone else is a designer of this type of thing, get in touch with us. Maybe we can do a branding.
So, Coach, do you want to talk a little bit about your off-season stuff?
Yeah, well, I
okay.
Okay, I'm going to, this is going to be very much, you know, personal, judgmental stuff. You know, my kid is at that age where you guys both have been through this. He is on the verge of having to make the decision of whether or not to play juniors. I didn't mean to get into this, but I guess I'll give you I'll tell you something that was a conversation that my son had with a coach, and I'm just curious to see what you guys want to say. But
and
first,
remind everyone how old your son is.
He's 17, and so he has just played 1 year of U18. He had a real good year for himself, and. Anyway, so we did some various things, and some of the things we did, like a camp, for one of the tier two junior leagues, we did a camp, one of their three or four camps that they have around the country. And he got a whole slew of quote unquote main camp invites. And most of these, you know, I would say one or two of them looked like a, you know, form letter, but most of them were, you know, hey, Connor, we saw you, blah, blah, blah. And so, so we had all these invites. And even with that said, my feeling was about it that there's a real problem with tier two in terms of the system for the NAL and for the NCDC, which are the two sort of tier two options that people in the US are looking at. I guess I could throw in the BCHL as well. A lot of things have been changing with the BCHL in the last couple of years, or at least this year, I should say. And a lot of controversy, especially if you're Canadian, in that the BCHL is no longer part of Hockey Canada. So there's a whole bunch of stuff I think we could talk about maybe in a future episode. I don't want to get into all of it today, but I will say after all these different things, we just decided, especially because we're having a very shortened summer for my kid. By the time I got him graduating from high school, and we actually got back to California, we've only been here for a couple of weeks, and he's already due to go back and start his next season in about 3 weeks. So he's had very, very little time to do much stuff this summer in that we just, you know, basically got back to California. He did have, he did basically take about, 8-9 days off, had a couple of buddies of his from back east came out and they all hung out. They, you know, it's interesting too. They can't, so his friends come out and the first thing he announces to me is, hey, we need to find a gym to go work out at. And I'm like, well, okay, how are you going to do that? So, you know, this was like, you're like, okay, your guys are coming across the country. You're going to hang out. You want to do some fun stuff, but the day starts with going to the gym and pumping iron every day. Like, okay. So that was the first thing they focused on. But aside from that, you know, he's pretty much, you know, that was just sort of have some vacation time. And we just decided with all these camps, we're just not going to go to any of them. And so the one thing we did do is, and this is something that people maybe don't know if their kid isn't at this age, but up to, I would say, Bantam age, a lot of people have probably done hockey camps in the summer. And there's a, you know, a number of sort of hockey camp institutions. One of them, I'm sure a lot of people know of, is Pro Ambitions. They have camps all around the country. And there's a bunch of other ones. And a hockey camp can be a good thing for a kid to go, you know, basically get on the ice to 2 hours a day for five straight days. And if the coaches are good, you know, it can be a something that sort of jolts them in their development or just lets them hone some things. So I think a lot of people did that. You guys all did that with your sons. And I don't know if your daughter did it, ever, but you guys have done a lot of these camps, right?
We have honed and jolted.
Yeah. So then when your kid gets to be like 16, 17, 18, well, nobody really does those camps anymore. And then you have the question of all these junior camps that you could do. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of concern about a lot of these junior camps, because I would not be the person to describe them as
a money grab.
Money grabs.
A money grab, perhaps.
I've heard them.
I've heard them described as such, but never by you, Coach. And I think that speaks highly of you.
I think you know. I think if you send your kid to one of these camps, you know going in that the odds are long. And you know what I was going to say about the NAL and the NCDC is this, that, you know, you can tender in all three of those leagues. And so basically tendering is an agreement between the team and the player that we're very interested in you. It's similar to being drafted, but in some ways I think it's even better than being drafted in most cases, because it's saying, you know, we're very interested. We expect that you have a real good chance to make our team. We're inviting you right into the, you know, into our training camp essentially, and or maybe the main camp. I don't know whether a lot of tenders go to the camps or not. But
can we clarify, by the way, Coach?
Mm-hmm.
Because a tender at tier two means a totally different thing than tender in the USHL.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say. So I think a lot of people think that if your kid gets drafted or tendered, problem solved, your kid's going to be playing tier two juniors in the NAL or the NCDC. And maybe that's mostly true. But I do want to say it's very clear that my preface was this, that in order to tender a player, that the leagues give up a draft choice. Now, when you look at the drafts and they have like 8, 9, 10 rounds, and you see a lot of the late drafts, it's just pass. Like, what is the point of the draft in the first place? They're not, you know, they're passing on entire rounds. Every team. So it seems like there's a lot of draft choices that they have, and they exercise not to take a lot of them. But I mean, I guess, you know, yeah, you want to be tendered, but here's the thing.
Tendering. Let me ask you, you're talking about like in the middle of the draft and a team, it's they're up to pick and they pass on the pick.
I'm saying that teams give up draft choices in order to tender. So that's just the basic equation,
right?
With the league. I'm just saying that what does it really matter if you gave up draft choices when you've got entire rounds of drafts that you're not picking anybody anyway? But to get down to brass tacks on it, I think this is very much your point, Lance. In the USHL, if your kid is tendered, there's an actual sort of agreement in place there where there's a guarantee. Your tendered player is guaranteed to play, and I'm not exactly sure about this.
I think it's 75% of the games.
Yeah, I thought it was 55%, but there's a significant agreement in place there.
Your kid's a lock if he gets tendered.
Yeah.
But the other thing for parents to know too is that you can only tender like a 16-year-old.
In the USHL,
if you're second year out draft eligible, they can't tender you. You can only tender first year guys when they first become eligible.
Okay, interesting. I didn't know that. So yeah, that there's something solid there for you in the USHL. In the NCDC and the NAL, there's nothing. You could be
right, tendered because you know from our experience too.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, you know, from our experience too, because that's, you know, in the USHL, I don't even know how many tenders they're allowed. And that takes the place of, like, I think they're Well, I guess I should take a step back and tell you that there's two drafts in the USHL. There's the futures draft where it's the first year you're eligible. Then everybody, the second draft is everybody. So they can only tender the players in the eligible for that first, your first draft eligible year. And I'm not sure how many they have, but, you know, I would say more times than not, USHL teams aren't tendering. A lot of teams don't even tender anyone. Some teams will tender one. And because, like you said, because there's so much at stake, they're guaranteeing a guy, they make a tender, that guy's playing, and he's going to play the entire year. I mean, he may end up sitting on the bench if he's not good. And so, because then in contrast to the NHL, they get 10 tenders each. Most of those teams will cap out their 10 tenders because, you know, it's almost like you're a free agent and they can go and grab you and nobody else can now touch you as opposed to being at risk. You know, imagine there's a guy you really want and you're picking 25 in the draft. Well, and that's why most NHL teams, I think, use all their tenders, because it's just for them, it's just another draft choice. And hey, if you show up to training camp and it doesn't work out and they don't like you, they have no obligations to you.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like there ought to be a little bit more of an obligation for people to take this a little more seriously. Now, with that said, I know a couple kids that got tendered, and as far as I know, they will be playing for the teams that tendered them this year. But there, you know, there's always some uncertainty until it all is said and done and the kid's playing and you know where they're playing and what line they're playing. And for, you know, this is the thing, for all those reasons, I was really sort of thinking about the calculus of this year and whether or not we should go to, you know, any of these camps. And my thinking was that, right or wrong, if my kid goes in and makes a team, what investment did they have in that? And what is the likelihood that my kid, as one of the younger players on the team, is going to get, as an undrafted and untendered player, a significant amount of ice time? And I, from what I've seen, came to the conclusion that the odds might be a little long on that one.
Yeah, and one of the mysteries of life, though, Coach. You know what I mean? It's like, who knows? Yes, you're saying it may not work out, but, you know, who knows? Young Raleigh, he might just barrel down that road and just keep achieving.
Yeah, well, it's the odds that you're taking. And
I gotcha.
And so we kind of banked on, instead of doing that, let's do something in the summer where just have my son know what team he's going to go to. He had a variety of options. He picked one where he had familiarity. He's going to be playing for the same coach he played for last year. And he's going to play another year of U18 AAA. The team he's going to is, they have they've made some commitments to him for some junior stuff. He got some of that last year. So he's going to get some of that, but we just decided, let's go with the known, and let's also go with the place where you're most likely not to take a step back in terms of the amount of opportunity and ice time you're going to get, because I don't think that it would have been a real good situation for him to go to a team and then find out maybe that he's not getting very much ice time. You know, at the age of 17. So that's,
I mean,
that's,
you want to give you our experience too?
Yeah. If you want to, I mean, I know, but yeah. You know, I didn't know how much you want to talk about this.
I mean, because especially that 1 year during the COVID time, I mean, here's what we were told, because you know, Chris got drafted in the third round of the NAHL, which we were pretty excited. We thought, hey, that's pretty high up there in the third round. But before we ever showed up to training camp, you know, some of the scouts, you know, talked to us and said, look, we got to give you the reality of the world, and you got to set your expectations. They said, because you got to remember this. They said, number one, you've got X number of players returning, and you got to do your homework and find out. So imagine, you know, you got a 25-man roster and 10 guys are coming back. So you've got 15 spots that are potentially open. They said, that's number one. Number two, if you're drafted third round of the null draft, you've got 10 guys that got tendered that they valued more than you that are competing for those spots. Then you've got two guys that got drafted ahead of you that are competing for those spots. So they said, you know, it starts getting very tight. Like you said, the odds start dropping because going into it, they already got 12 guys ahead of you that they're coveting more than you. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, that they never tell you, because we made it all the way to the end and it was preseason. And then the part that I didn't know before was that, you know, you've got top tier players who were all at NHL camps, and you know, they had gotten drafted, they're at the camp, and they're, you know, a lot of them aren't going to make the team. You know, they're not going to make that jump at 18, 19 to play in the NHL. So right. Where do they go? They go back to their junior team. And yeah. When they go back to their junior team, all the bottom six guys that were brought in and made it to the first couple of preseason games, they get cut to make room for these guys. And all those guys who made it all the way to the end in the USHL, they get cut, are picked up immediately by NAHL and BCHL teams. So it's like this trickle down effect. And so I remember someone told me to say, hey, be careful, because if your kid's in the bottom six, there's a strong likelihood they're going to pick up USHL cut players and your kid's going to drop out of the, you know, out of that rotation.
Yeah, and this goes to the investment the teams have, and I think you could look at it exactly like the NHL. It's not that there's not players who are low draft picks that don't eventually excel in the NHL. It definitely happens. But, you know, if you just look at it statistically, the low round draft picks are less likely to ever make it in the NHL or spend any significant time there. And then you ask yourself, well, if this is kind of your job, and your job was to make a pick, and you picked a guy, let's say, in the late first round, and you have some other guy, and they're both the same age, they're both players, but maybe the late round player really starting to flash and improve and look good. Maybe he's you know, not quite where the other player was young, earlier, but now the two players, they're hard to tell apart. Who is the team going to more than likely give the opportunities to? It's going to be the guy that they pick, because they've got an investment in that person. Their reputation's on the line. They picked this guy and said, it's going to be, you know, a top, you know, let's say top nine or maybe top six player. This other player, you know, we drafted him. We really didn't expect anything, but, you know, we have the draft picks. We're going to do the best we can, you know. Well, I feel like that phenomena certainly happens in juniors, and maybe all the way, you know, every team, it just goes down. You know, the coach that has the investment in player A versus player B really doesn't want to see, they really just want to find out that they were wrong. The player B was the better player. And I, you know, I don't want to say across the board, because I'm sure there's some egalitarian situations. I've witnessed, you know, plenty of teams where people come in and there's sort of an idea of who's going to be good and who's not. And then it just shows up on the ice that, okay, players that nobody expected anything of really were just underestimated, and they're better. But if it's two players and it's player A and B, and they are neck and neck, player A, who was drafted higher or tendered or whatever brought in, is going to get the opportunity before player B. It's just that's just the reality of it.
Okay, so, gentlemen, you know, we've gone through 45 minutes now. We can't make up for the fact that we haven't been on air by going like an hour long on our first podcast back.
Oh, come on.
So I've got to cut you guys down. I've got to show you. I've got to flex over here. And I also came up with something I wanted to do at the end of the show. So I hope you'll indulge me.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, of course. Fantasy tender for each of your kids, Lance. If they got a fantasy tender, they called up right now, you'd be on the plane with Ricardo Montalban to fantasy tender.
Would tattoo be there as well?
Yes, tattoo would be there. What would be your favorite for each kid getting a fantasy tender right now? You'd run to the airport to get them there.
Fantasy tender. The fantasy tender would be
a team that tenders your kid, like, and you would immediately go, never mind, I've got to send him there. Goodbye.
Okay, how about the University of Minnesota?
That is for Chris or for John?
For either of them.
No, you have to think about each kid individually. I know they're twins.
Oh, okay. The
University of Minnesota.
Okay, and then John?
John.
It's got to be the Hitman, doesn't it? It have to be something like where Johnny could like beat some people up or something.
Yeah, there you go. We'll go with, I would probably want him to get an offer from a BCHL team.
Okay. Which one? The Wenatchee Wild, perhaps?
No.
It's not a BCHL team anymore.
How about the Victoria Grizzlies?
Victoria Grizzlies. That sounds excellent.
In a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Coach, fantasy tender. We're playing the game of fantasy tender.
Well, I feel like the rules here were not clear because NCAA doesn't have tendering and right away.
I know. Lance always, by the way, Lance will always blow through any speed bump I put in front of him. I'm just accepting it. Fantasy tender.
Let me just respond to that. Because the thing is, the only team that would excite me that's not below college would be a USHL team, and they're not going to tender him because he's 20 years old. He'd have to be 16. Now, if he were 16.
Thanks, Lance. You're ruining the entire segment, but go ahead.
But that's why I'm saying the only thing that would excite us at this point would be a college tender.
Gotcha.
Right. Which
Raleigh, would you please ruin this a little further so and then we can finish this?
Okay. So just realistically right now, I'm not going to say an NCAA team. Now, Lance, maybe you can help me. What is the USHL team that is in Chicago? Chicago
Steel.
Steel, yeah.
Steel.
I just saw the Steel was purchased by the Chicago Blackhawks, I believe. So seems to me with that type of investment.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I'm going to say Chicago Steel because if they're picking you, you're practically one step away from the NHL, aren't you?
Yep. Okay, and I've got mine. My daughter, if she got called up to the Kilmarnock Lightning, we'd be on a plane like that. Kilmarnock Lightning.
This is
mark it down.
As much as you are trying to court the Scottish Ice Hockey Federation, I think you've gone over the.
Okay, I've lost the thread, but thank you all for listening to us lose the thread collectively here in our first episode of the new season from Youth Hockey Podcast. If you want to get a hold of us, youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Please go ahead and review us. And again, if you mention the coach by name, Coach, you will get a shout out in the actual program, and we appreciate all of you listening all the way to the end.
It feels like we never left.
It does. It feels like we never left. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back next week.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.